Now, we are doing our maturity purpose-built series, or maturity sermon, on this, how we fit into God's plans for the church. But we're going to read a passage from Colossians 2 that should be on the screen. Colossians 2, 1 through to 11, and then we're going to look at a couple of verses in there. So, Colossians 2. So, if you've got a Bible with you, or you've got it on a tablet or a phone, scroll down to it or open your Bible to Colossians, which is a letter by Paul the missionary to a church in a place called Colossae. And these are the Christians there that he's writing to, the church that's grown up in that city. Colossians 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So that's the passage. We're going to look specifically at verses 6 to 7 today. But it is the purpose-built series, how we fit into God's plans for the church. And last week we looked at membership, and today we're looking at maturity. And it's just a couple of verses from Colossians in the New Testament. And these verses do two things. First, they explain the true path to Christian maturity. They explain how we mature as Christians. But secondly, they expose a false path or false paths to maturity that will lead you to dead ends. So they show us how to be mature Christians. And that's what we're going to look at today. And with that in mind, I want to remind you, or let you know for the first time, that we at North Coast Church want to encourage you towards maturity. That's a key factor in this church, if you haven't found that out already. We want you to be mature Christians in Christ. And today we're going to look at Colossians as we go into maturity. But first, does your Christian maturity program feel like a failure to launch? Remember this movie when Matthew McConaughey was still playing love interests instead of crusty old people that he is? Failure to launch. And in the movie, Matthew McConaughey is a 35-year-old living at home. Think of the shock of that, parents, who are just about to get your kids out of the house. 35 and they're still there. And when you were 35, you'd already been an MP for 5 years or whatever, but he hasn't left home. Failure to launch. And Paula, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, is an actual paid expert at getting men like Tripp to launch, to mature and move out of home. And desperate parents phone her to come in. And obviously it's a rom-com, and obviously you know where it's going. But the ideas and innovations that his exasperated parents had not come up with, somehow she's got the secret sauce for every parent who's trying to get their child to launch into maturity. Now, maybe if your Christian faith sometimes feels like it's failing to launch, perhaps you think there's some secret sauce that I haven't found out yet, something new. And I'll tell you, I've got a book for you. I've got a spiritual experience for you. I've got a conference about deeper obedience for you. I've got the right church with the right way to do church with the right types of community for you. I've got something that you should stop doing. I've got something that you should start doing. I have got a way of reading the Bible that you need. I have got a version of the Bible that you need. I have got a way of helping you to move to a more mature, less sort of conservative theological position about stuff that will make you mature. Whatever it is, there's something for you that I've got from this platform, the secret sauce to launch your Christian maturity. And we don't take Amex, okay? We don't take Amex. Can you see the problem? If you've been a Christian long enough, lamented your sin strong enough, and thought that I need to be more mature than I am by now, I have failed to launch to the level that I should have, you recognize that desire to grow as a Christian better. And perhaps, like me, you've gone down some of those pathways in order to find maturity, in order to really launch your Christianity in beyond the surly bonds of this earth into the stratosphere and then into deep space. Well, here's the really good news this morning. The answer to our Christian maturity is hidden in plain sight. It's hidden in plain sight in these verses from our reading. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You go, that's it? That's the not-so-secret sauce. It's telling us that everything we need for Christian maturity is already available to us. We've already got it. We just should avail ourselves of it. And we see it two ways. One, as we received, we walk. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you received, so walk. The way you started, the place you started, keep walking from there. And this really is a journey example of the Christian faith. And we all know that sort of story, don't we? A hiking example, I suppose. You set on off in a certain direction from a certain place. And Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians and to us, just as you began with Christ through repentance and faith in the gospel and thankful and grateful to God for what he had done for you in Jesus, just keep walking that way. That's the way you're going to go. Keep going in that direction. Every day, get up and be grateful and thankful to the Lord Jesus for what he's done for you at the cross, and grateful and thankful for where he's taken you, and keep going that way. Get up tomorrow and say, you are Lord of my life today, Lord Jesus. Launder, rinse, repeat. That's what he's saying. Just as, so do it. And if the first is a moving image, and it's a good image, isn't it? The second is a more static image. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Well, what's that? That's a tree image, isn't it? The whole idea is roots down, branches up. Roots down, branches and trunk up. You see, how does a tree establish itself? Well, by staying in the same place. I had a little apple tree in our garden in Swan View that never seemed to grow very well in one corner, so I shifted it a couple of times, and guess what? That didn't help. It never really got established anywhere. And just when it was getting established, one of Declan's young friends came over and broke off all the branches. I came out and looked, that's it, it's cool. That was the kid, you know. But how does a tree establish itself? Not by jumping here, there, and everywhere, but by putting the roots down and growing up. And you know that the idea of a tree establishing itself is a biblical metaphor. We see it in Psalm 1. That the person who stays with God and goes with God is like a tree. And we see not just any tree in the Bible. If you want to be fruitful as a tree, that's how you do it. We're not just talking about decoration trees. Maturity looks like fruitfulness in the Bible. And Paul is saying here that we're to put the roots down into who Jesus is and what he's done and grow up in that same place. So you get a moving image and a static image. You put them together, there's the secret source. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, so walk in that way, in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Just as you were taught, that's what I learned, abounding in thanksgiving. That's my response emotionally to what God has done for me. You know that you know what God has done for you really matters when you start to abound in thanksgiving. Abound, it sort of feels like jumping around. I don't often feel that way in thanksgiving, but it abound in thanksgiving. That's the Christian life. So what's the secret sauce? Are you ready? Keep going. Keep growing. Keep going. Keep growing. Hidden in plain sight. See, the Christians in Colossae were surrounded by all sorts of spiritual launch programs. Colossae was a place where all sorts of spiritual ideas were. There are all sorts of secret sources to launch you into spirituality. And for eager types who wanted to grow more in their faith, I reckon that's kind of alluring, isn't it? That's how I feel. You see it today, that if I could just get that secret to breaking that or sorting that out or being more like that at that conference or that book. And you can see it hasn't changed today. And the thing about these verses is that they're the hinge of his appeal to keep going and keep growing. Because on either side of these verses, you have two things. You have a set of concerns that Paul has about what might stop them keep growing and keep going, and then a certain confidence about that they will. They will keep growing. They will keep going. Verses 1 to 5 and verses 8 to 15 both have a concern that something could waylay them, but a confidence that it won't. And that's the Colossians. And that's what we can do too. So what is Paul's concern? You see, this is what he says. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. And then he says in verse 8, see it to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Do you see the issues? Paul's concern here is not that the Colossians come across an idea that looks so wacky they wouldn't believe it. Paul's concern is that they come across ideas that are bad but that look plausible. That's the problem. And in Colossae, the ideas that there was secret knowledge that no one else had that would launch you into spiritual maturity. But there are also rules and regulations that would take you captive. They would say, you've got to do this and this and this if you want to be spiritually mature. There were two sides to this concern, two sides to it. So they could add a secret knowledge to their Christianity, these things that no one else had really knew, and that could make them mature. Or they could put these rules in place and that would make them mature. Two extremes, but the same problem. A wise man once gave me the spiritual mathematical law of the gospel, which is this. Whenever you add to the gospel, you subtract from the gospel. That's the first spiritual law. Whenever you add to the gospel, you subtract from the gospel. Do you get that? Whenever you add something to it, you're taking away its sufficiency and fullness. But secondly, whatever you add to the gospel is what counts for you. Whatever you add to the gospel is what counts for you. And you know how that works. Someone says to you, oh, you're a Christian. What version of the Bible do you read? And if you don't say the right one, the Greek and the Hebrew, in your face, you know. Thank you, Don. You see, someone saying that to you is saying, actually, you're Christian, but not really. Not my version of the Bible, really. Or what way do you do church? Is it deep ninja hardcore household church where you're all spending every day in the neighborhood telling everyone about Jesus? And if it's not, give up your job and do it, because it's not worth anything if you're not. That kind of Christian. And then you're judged as to whether you're doing that, not whether you've got your faith and trust in Jesus. Those are big issues. Whatever you add is what counts. And whatever you add takes away from the gospel. And one of the major problems there is pride, isn't it? I'm better than that other Christian. It draws us away from what truly counts. Putting our roots down, growing up, walking in the thing that we received and were taught from the beginning, Christ. That's a big deal, isn't it? You see it all the time. And Paul isn't even in Colossae. He's absent. What happens if they fall for that too? But what's interesting is that Paul has great confidence. He's got great confidence. It's also shown in that passage that we read out today. This is what he says. For though I am absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. He's heard of their good order and their firm faith in Christ, even in the midst of a place which is offering them all these other ideas about what maturity spiritually looks like. He knows that they're looking for maturity the right way. He wants them to keep growing and keep going. Because here's the really simple thing. Maturity as a Christian means sticking with Jesus today and then getting up and sticking with Jesus tomorrow and then getting up and getting up every day. Laying aside the sin that so easily entangles and running the race that Jesus has already run and won for you. That's what Christian maturity looks like. The path to Christian maturity does not come about by buying up every book, watching every YouTube video about heresy, error, and bad teaching. That's the issue. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. Tim Challies, who's a writer and blogger I know, said this: it can be dangerous to immerse ourselves in false teachings and false teachers. It can be dangerous to assume that we need to have a deep understanding of error in order to hold fast to what is true. It's good to know that why we're not like Mormons, for example, in our understanding of things and why sexual matters matter and why we don't conform to the world. But don't assume that the best way to guard our faith is to obsess about the bad stuff and going down the YouTube sort of rabbit hole. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. Think about how you find out, well, think about money, for example. What happens if you get a $50 note and it's counterfeit? And you bring it in and you put it and they say, sorry, that's a $50 note, and it's not valid tender. You've been duped. Well, you go, why would I know? Do you know how law enforcement agencies know how to break counterfeit money operations? They don't spend all their time looking at counterfeit money. They spend all their time looking at real money, knowing it so well that one minor difference in counterfeit money gives it away. That's Paul's solution. I don't want you to be fooled by counterfeit paths to spiritual maturity. I want you to get to know the real thing really, really well. I want you to keep growing in Jesus. That's why he says it. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you've been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. He says, it's all there in Jesus. It's all there in Jesus. You have to allow Jesus to fill up every space in your life. make him Lord today, then get up tomorrow and make him Lord. In fact, the best parallel to me is this. High yield expanding foam. Has anyone used high yield expanding foam? Expansion foam, space filler. My experience is I renovated an old 100-year-old cottage. Now, I know I look like the bloke that came in at the end of that and did the soft furnishings for you, but I actually did renovate a 100-year-old cottage, including getting under the house and jacking it up on car jacks with about that much space and changing all the stumps. You do have a certain form of intense prayer when you're under the house looking up at the bearers. But when I put in the new windows, before you put on the gyprock, to seal it off, you put this stuff in the gaps, and then you close that off because it just keeps expanding. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and unless you shut it down, it's just going to keep expanding. That's the point of it. It fills the void. And the question is, how much space does Jesus fill? It turns out he fills a lot. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden some of the all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then Paul goes on to say, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Everything you need is in Jesus. Who fills up everything we are? Jesus. Jesus is the secret source to Christian maturity, to keep going and keep growing in Jesus. That's the way it works. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's actually our conviction at North Coast Church. That's the pathway to maturity. We begin the Christian life that way, and we continue the Christian life that way. We begin by being taught about Jesus, going, I see the gospel, I understand what it means to repent of sin, to put that aside, that Jesus has paid the price for my sin, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that I'm abounding in thanksgiving. And then I get up tomorrow and I go, wow, Jesus has saved me. I'm so thankful for what he has done for me. I will live with him as Lord today. And one of the signs that perhaps you're forgetting that is that thankfulness falls off the edge. And you start to live as a Christian going, it's more than my job's worth. And then eventually you go, what am I so thankful for? The path to Christian maturity is getting up tomorrow and going, I am so grateful for what God has done for me in Jesus. And I will live today putting sin aside and doing good and serving others and being less self-focused because of what Jesus has done. Keep doing that. Further along, deeper down, higher up. That's the path to Christian maturity right there. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And if you're a tree that's just been planted in that, do you know the best people to seek out? The old oak trees. And there's a few of them around. Some of them are a bit gnarly, that's true, and a few leaves have fallen off, but hey, that's what you want to find. You want to find a 75-year-old who's still abounding in thanksgiving because of Jesus. And you can tell the difference when you go to an aged care facility where there's someone who's a Christian, who's been there a long time, who's a Christian for a long time, and the difference. I went every week for 5 years. And old people were... Why are old people in aged care facilities so grumpy? Because they've had a lot of years of practice and they're really good at it. But the Christians I met were abounding in thanksgiving, even in the midst of trials and trouble. Start now. Plant now. Grow up now, because it will show as you age. and as difficult times do come. So when we think about maturity here as a purpose, we want to grow into maturity here, we've actually thought about it. This is what we say here at North Coast about maturity. We want to see every member of NCC living as mature disciples of Jesus by growing in six marks of maturity through active participation in our maturity structures. And what we mean by that is as you get involved in the things that dig you deeper down into Jesus and grow you up in him here, we'll mature together as a church. The six, I'll just read them to you. Word and prayer, prioritizing personal relationship with Jesus. Once that falls off the radar, maturity will fall off the radar. Church and growth groups, regularly attending Sunday gatherings and belonging to a growth group, a small group of people who are going to love you and help you to grow in maturity in Jesus. Holiness. We don't use that word very much. A desire to change in order to be more like Jesus. It's something in a church to be able to ask someone, how's your holiness going? There's plenty of opportunities out there to not be holy. And there's plenty in here to not want it either. But that's a sign of maturity. For serving and leading, fulfilling your relational roles from Jesus here. How can you serve? Where can you lead? Where can you lead in such a way that matures others, not just big notes yourself? Evangelism, mission, influencing others towards Jesus, sharing the good news about Jesus with others so that they can be taught about who he is. And giving, investing sacrificially in the vision of what we're doing because of Jesus. Not because this building's amazing, not because it's very funky, but because we want to see Jesus' name glorified, Jesus' people, eternity. So there you have the six. Word and prayer, church and growth group, holiness, serving and leading, evangelism and giving, and all centered around who Jesus is and what he's done. Every member growing in maturity in Christ by participating in maturity structures that focus on Christ. And here's a few we prepared earlier if you're not involved. And at the back today, there's some sign up for some of the events and things that we're doing and growth groups and things like that. There'll be someone at the serve point down there you can go and ask questions of or get some information about. So Rochelle Van Zyl, who's our kids ministry coordinator along with her husband, is our ministry coordinator at the moment, and she'll be in there signing people up as well, identifying places where we can serve together. But the first thing I'd say is join a growth group. I go through the lists of who's in a growth group and who's not, and it's hard to get there every week, but belonging to a small group of people, a small group of people, allows you to love a few people well. Allows you and each other to ask, how is your holiness going, in a way that you'll never get asked that necessarily in a big room. There's also some one-to-one discipleship options as well, to sign up, to meet with people, to share the gospel, to share Bible time together and grow like Jesus. And tomorrow night, Vanessa is coordinating She Prays tomorrow night from 7 to 7:45 in the cafe. Any women that want to come along to pray. 45 minutes doesn't seem a lot, does it? It'll go very quickly, won't it? Always goes quickly. That's to encourage each other to continue in the faith, abounding with thanksgiving. So that's tomorrow night here in the cafe. Another one that we have mentioned recently for the women in our church is our Titus 2 groups. And Christine Veal's organising and coordinating that. Reading groups, reading different books which are focused on Jesus to encourage you to keep growing and keep going. And then, of course, we've got our North Coast Pathway. Now, we had our first Life series on Wednesday night, and 15 people came along, including four or five that don't identify as Christians. And we're exploring what is life about over the next 3 weeks. And it would be great during the process in the pathway that people became Christian for the first time. That's the way we're going. And that's what I'd leave you with. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's what we want to launch you into for Christian maturity. That's what it looks like. Keep going, keep growing. And the marks of that will be a joyous church that wants to sing the praise of our great God and Saviour. And we're going to do that now. Thanks, Dan.